Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church, check out our website at r4sq.org. Stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless.
Amen, amen. Well, I've really been enjoying this series. Today's we're going through a series called Stewardship, and this today's title is called Dollars and Cents, of course. But I've really been enjoying stewardship because the big we have to learn how to take care of somebody else's stuff, right? We have to be able to, that's what stewardship is about, taking care of somebody else's, all right? Somebody else's land, somebody else's property, somebody else's money, somebody else's stuff, all right? And Jesus has entrusted into all of us a level of stewardship that we have to be responsible for, all right? Last week, we talked more on the lines of money, about handling money, about handling God's money, praise God. And one of the emphasis that I focused on last week is God don't need your money. Why? Anybody that can create don't need money. Anybody that can create don't need money. So why is money a big issue? Because we, the God of this world, we live in this world, and the God of this world has a system, all right? What is it about this 2-cent piece of paper that's in your wallet, that's in your bank account? Why does it have value? What does that value come from? Why is a 2-cent piece of paper worth $20 or $100? Amen? And our heart is tied so much to it. Our value is tied so much to it. And this influence has come from the world. The world tell you if you have more money, you can help more people. The world tell you if you have more money, you wouldn't have to worry about no bills or you wouldn't have to worry about nothing, right? Don't we all have that perception? If I just had money, I wouldn't have to worry about a lot of this stuff, right? And the reality is only God can really give you what money promises you. All right? So why money is a big issue? Because we live in a system. God personally don't need your money, but his wife do, or his soon-to-be wife. Amen? Which is the bride of Christ, which is who we are as the church. And why do we need money? Because we live in a system. Amen? And this system, the devil is in control of, right? What did he get this authority? Well, in the beginning, God created man, and he gave man authority over the earth. Man gave that authority to the devil, right? All right? And I gave the analogy, if I built a company, and I did everything to make sure this company was successful, and then I handed it off to my son, and I totally disconnected myself with the responsibility of my company. And my son run my company into the ground. Is that my fault? If he gives the company that I have given him over to somebody else and they run it into the ground, is that my fault? All right? And that's what the condition of the world is in. Jesus came back to take that authority. Amen? Jesus came back to take that authority and to give it back to you. Amen? And so, money is a big issue is because we have been influenced by the world concerning money, right? And the Lord wants to change that. He wants to change that, amen? And so here we are today, amen? We talked about some false doctrines last week. Go listen on the podcast. It's really good. I went back and listened. I was like, oh, that's good. Oh, that was good. You know, I'd be shocked how good it be, amen. And I'm not just puffing me up, but it really be ministering to me. And that's how I know I'm being used. Amen. It's not my ability, because I can still be surprised how good it is. Amen. All right, go to Genesis chapter 14. And today we're still on the topic of money. Amen. Still on the topic of stewardship. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14 through 20. I will be reading from the New King James Version. All right. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house, his own house, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Solomon went out to meet him at the valley of Chavez, and that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedor Laomer, the king who were with him. Then in 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, professor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love that never fails in our lives. Father, I pray for your people, Lord God. I pray over their hearts that they be ready for this message. I know, Lord, you teach your people, Lord. Lord, I don't have no wisdom, Lord God, unless you done taught me. And so, Lord, I pray that you increase their understanding through me, Lord. You teach them. They your people. So I ask, Lord God, use me today. Use my tongue. And use everything about me, Lord God, to minister your truth, Lord. How shall we know unless you teach us, Lord God? How shall we know, Lord God? How shall we win unless you show us, Lord Jesus? And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Before we get into this message for real, this message will change your life forever. I really truly believe the truth that's in it. I want you to be open to it. Amen. Unless you go home and apply what's being taught from the house of God, it will do you no good. Amen. Unless you start doing it and making a habit a part of your life, it will do you no good. You know. And please be open to what I'm about to say this morning. Please be open. Just open your hearts up to it. Amen. I know the enemy done bruised us and he done tried to teach us wrong things and our hearts done got bruised by the world. Even ministers and teachers and preachers done bruised us and tried to hurt us. And really the enemy has used this world and the influence of people to attack your trust. He don't want you to trust. All right, because if you can trust, then you will just accept freely what God has for you. All right, and so if he can attack your trust, we will have walls up even towards God, because ultimately it's about you trusting God. All right, so if he can attack your trust and keep bruising you and attacking you, so you won't trust God, amen. Because ultimately it's about trusting God. And he make every case that you go through, somehow he make it about God, all right? And he trying to turn your viewpoint about God to a wrong perspective. And ultimately, he wants you to be offended at God for some reason, all right? And so that's why I invite you in to allow me to teach you. Allow Jesus to teach you through this ministry, all right? And in order for you to do that, we have to start over sometimes. We have to become like a child. We have to trust again. Amen. Or we have to trust God to trust again. All right? Because unless we open ourselves up to God, how shall we know? How can we get truth? Your only hope of freedom is truth. Your only hope of freedom is truth. Unless that's given to you, And unless you open your heart up to it and accept it, there is no hope for you for freedom. All right? That's why I tax areas like this to humble yourself as a child. Start over. Open yourself as a child and receive truth from God. Don't fight God. Amen? Don't fight God. Just open yourself up to God because he the only one really loves you. Amen? And he want to see you succeed. He want to have freedom. He want freedom in your life. All right? And I believe the topic of today's message is why should we tithe, but I believe the reason why we have trouble with money so much is our motive and our agenda that we got from the world and how the church so much abused us concerning money, amen, and not taught us the right agenda concerning money, amen, in God's view. And it's not a bad topic, amen, but open yourselves up to God's word. And unless you receive this love and be in love with correction, please be in love correction. Love correction, especially from God, especially if truth, amen. Don't fight correction. Learn how to love correction. If you was going, if we was headed on 565 going west and we had a choice to either go north or south on 65, we know north can take you all the way to Chicago, right? South can take you all the way to Mobile, right? And you was trying to get to Chicago and you turn left going south to Mobile. If you go all the way to Mobile, man, that's 5-6 hours out the way, right? Wouldn't you want, if you was riding with somebody and you know they was going the wrong way, wouldn't you say something? Wouldn't you say something? All right? And then, God forbid, if the person is not open to your correction, amen? So correction is good. Why? So you won't go the wrong way. Amen? So as soon as you find out you're going the wrong way, what you do? It's time to turn around. Ain't no using pouting. Ain't no using, why you say it like that? No, turn around. Amen? Receive the correction. And correction keeps you going the right way. Think about it. It keeps you from being lost. It keeps you from going the wrong way, and it keeps you on the right path, amen? That's why it's so beneficial that you receive correction. Be open to it, no matter where it's coming from, right? Whether they said it with a good attitude or not, right? It's still correction, praise God. You can still grow from it, can't you? Even if they screamed it at you, if you receive it, you can still grow, right? Praise God, amen? That's right, because that's the truth. All right. So why tithe? I believe that tithing is very biblical, even for the New Testament believer. There are many teachings about tithe that isn't biblical, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't tithe. All right. Anytime you get a truth from God's word, you got something that the enemy will always have a false doctrine tied to it. All right. He'll have maybe just a little truth. All right. Just concerning healing. We know by his stripes we were healed on the cross. Right. It's already been accomplished for you. Right. All right, and the enemy say, well, God, he do it, but he do it in his own time, you know? Or, yeah, I believe in healing, but, right? That's the enemy. When you got truth, then but. My grandma died. I know mine did too. My daddy died of heart disease. But that still don't change the fact that God still healed, right? I don't care who died. God still has delivered us from all the power of the darkness. I don't care who have died. And I'm not saying that in an insensitive way. Amen. But I must emphasize how truth has to be absolute. All right. So, and also with the area of deliverance, we know that we need to be delivered. All right. What is deliverance? That means we can be influenced by demonic spirits in our soul. Sometimes we need to be delivered. Amen. It's no but. It's, man, I got devils and I need to be set free. And most of us cast devils out of ourselves. When you accept truth, you just cast the devil out. Because the devil is the father of all lies. And if you believe in something other than truth, it's a lie. And therefore, a devil have occupancy in that area in your life. Right? So most of us cast devils out of ourselves by just accepting truth. But when you can't cast them out of yourself, then you might need my sisters or the sisters of leaders to help devils be relieved out of your soul, right? And you're still going to have to replace it with truth anyway, because it's going to come back and occupy that same area if you don't have truth, right? Because they operate off lies. All right? And they say that you need to be delivered. And the fact is, Jesus has already delivered you. You've been delivered. That's why they got to go, right? That's why they can't stay. Amen? But then you got that truth, and then people say, but. And the same is also with tithing. Amen? It's an area that could have been abused by ministers and leaders and people you have trusted, but that still don't change the fact that it's truth that you should obey. Amen? And we should receive into our life, because it would change our lives forever. All right? All right, tithing, we know the word tithe means tenth or 10%. All right? Let's go to Exodus chapter 1 through 2. Exodus chapter 13, I'm sorry. Chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. This is so good. Watch this, you all. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. Say, it's mine. It's mine. All right? And we see this principle, before I go to the next verse, we see this principle all through Scripture. We see what belongs to the Lord. All right? What belongs to the Lord? He said, it's mine. Right? So let's go to Exodus 13, that same chapter, verses 12 through 13. That you shall, everyone say shall, set apart the Lord, all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons shall be redeemed. All right? Now, we go into an Old Testament passage of Scripture that really points to a real good analogy in reference to tithing and in reference to money, all right? Or specifically, what's your money and then what's God's, all right? And how to really start looking at money in another light, all right? In another way, in another perspective, all right? Now listen to this. The firstborn, as we see here, it says the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The only thing you can do with the firstborn, according to these scriptures in the Old Testament, only thing you can do with them, you can either sacrifice it or redeem it. All right? You can either sacrifice it or redeem it. And God, as we see here, he said, the firstborn is mine. What made it in the category of being redeemed versus sacrificed? Well, you had two forms of animals that God deemed clean, and you had another animal that God deemed unclean, all right? And he said the way you eat the clean is if you redeem it, all right? How do you redeem the unclean? With the clean. So you had animals that was clean. And that's why he said you must redeem a donkey with a lamb. Why? Because lamb was considered a clean animal, right, that you sacrificed before God. The lamb did. And the only way you redeem an unclean is by taking the clean lamb and sacrificing, and that redeemed the rest. That redeemed the rest. So that firstborn was his, though, right? Her firstborn was his. So if it's unclean, it must be redeemed. If it's clean, it must be sacrificed. This principle is found all through Scripture. Okay? How were you born? How were you born? Were you born clean or unclean? Let's say it loud. Unclean. We was born unclean. We were born into sin. Amen. You've been clean now. Amen. But we was born into sin, right? So we was born unclean. All right? Who was born clean? Jesus. The Lamb that was slain to take away the sins of the world, right? All right? So, God, to redeem you and me, who was born unclean, had to sacrifice one that was clean, which is Jesus, to what? To redeem us. Or make us fit for use. Or to buy us back. Amen? Or to restore us to the original value we was once created in the first place. Amen? You and I need to be redeemed. What if this process need to work also in your finances? Amen? Because he want the first. All right? Tithing, I believe, when we pay our tithes or when we give our tithes to God. All right? Put it like this. First off, let me say this. When you put God first, everything else works. All right? When you don't put God first, you will struggle. Now, I will have the same trials as you have, but you might not. You could look at me and you're like, man, he don't look like he's going through nothing. You know, or it look like he just whooping everything. Or look, but God, I got the same trials you got, right? I'm no different than you. Or if a person that tithes, they are no different than you. Amen. But I submit to you, when you do it God's way, amen, you don't feel it all. I guarantee you don't feel it all. You don't feel the bunt or the blow that was intended for you. Amen. Because when you do it God's way, he keeps you from falling. I'm telling you. And we have to do it God's way, not only in other areas, but also in our finances. Why? Because the world has so trained us that our value is in money. And your value is not in that bank account. Your value is not in how much money you have. Amen. Your value is not in the car you drive or even your career. That's not your created value. Amen. Whether you have 6 zeros in the bank account or whether you got -6 zeros, that's not your value, right? Why? Because the cross. The cross shows your created value. What Jesus done for you is your created value. When God gave Jesus, what if he paid his tithes to redeem you? Why should I pay my tithes? Because God paid his. He gave Jesus to redeem me and you. And guess what? It shows your value. And when God gave Jesus, he redeemed me and you. He just didn't give Jesus, but what if that's a form of tithe? Amen. That I need to take his example of and apply it to every area of my life. When you put God first, everything else works. Amen. All right. Because if Jesus redeemed us. So, I need some examples. Let me get 3 examples. No, four. Four people, please. 4 people. Come on up. Amen. 4 people. All right, right here I got a $50 bill. $50 bill. Hey, amen. You see the influence of money already working. Already working. She like, ooh. All right, I need you to face this wall, Lady D. Need you to face this wall. Turn around. Face her. Come on. In a line. All right. Every time you get paid, there is a test. Every single time, there is a test. And what is the test? Everybody know this. Should I pay my mortgage first? My light bill? You know I need some gas. What? Why we getting paid? What, we gonna spend it, right? So, and sometimes that money's spent before you even get it, right? Amen. Amen. And don't have it on. Amen. Sometimes it's spent before you even get it. Let's look at each person as something that could be a priority to you concerning your money, or something you deem a priority, important to you. All right? So this is the position that God, money need to be in. Say first.
First.
This is the position that God's money need to be in. Right? But according to how we've been influenced by the world and what deems important to us, sometimes we think the car note, maybe. The car note. Let's put the house note. That's big. House note. And sometimes even we just being responsible, you know. We just being responsible. We just stewarding and taking care of mine, my wife, and my kids, right? But God want to be first. And most of us put God back here. And now this is the spending order. Say spending order.
Spending order.
Spending order. So Jesus wants you to be first, all right? And why am I talking about this? And I believe God do it on purpose. He's to cleanse your hearts of anything else that you trust other than God. And because, listen, that 3-cent piece of paper, amen, it ain't even that, probably. And the ink that's on it, where does that value come from? It comes from the world. But you, as a born-again believer, as a Christian and born of God, your value and your citizenship is in heaven, not on pertaining to in this earth. Amen? So that value that you got from where? The world. Why? Because money is the devil's system, right? And God uses it to get his will done on earth. Why? Because we are in this world, but we are not of it, right?
Amen.
Amen. And so, your money need to be redeemed.
Yeah. Come on.
Why? Because it came from something that was unclean. It came from a system that's been tainted with wrong motives.
Yeah.
And it's not thinking about God. It's not thinking about his way of doing things and being right. It's not thinking about righteousness and souls. Right? It's not thinking about souls. It's self. Me, mine. But what about his? All right? And I want to fix the order. Jesus wants to fix the order. He wants you to put him first. He wants to be the head of the line. Why? Because now I need you to switch with, no, since you mortgage, you got to move back to the second. Just Desi, come to the line. Because y'all know your rent and mortgage, all that stuff is important, right? That's about the second one, right? Desi right here. My lovely sister. Ain't she so sweet? Amen. Yes, she is my real sister. Yeah, I got her looks too. See, I heard you. Talking about, man, she look, what? They don't look nothing. But, I was just playing. She is beautiful, right?
Yes.
Amen. So, when we put God first, all right, this is the first thing we pay, the first check we write now, right? Then God redeems the rest of your money. This is so important. The reason I say it's so important is because this money is not from God. He don't need your money, but his wife do. All right? The church do, because we living in a system. All right? So as we put God first and pay, this ain't even ours. Hold on, let me explain to you this position of your spending order. This not even your money. As we see in the analogy in the Old Testament, the firstborn that comes from the womb, from man and of beast, he said, it's mine. And I can go to many more scriptures where he said, it's his. And then he said, bring it into the storehouse. He said, bring it. Amen. And sometimes we can think when we help somebody out, you know, because I had people working for me and they was homeless. And I say, man, you know, Jesus requires to pay our tithes, you know, because they think they got some theology. He said, well, I help people out at the grocery store and I give people money. We talking about giving now. Let me help you.
We're talking about giving now, because the Bible says when a man purpose in his heart what to give. That's not talking about tithes. That's something you deciding to do. Right? All right? So this is how Jesus showed me. If I make $11 an hour, I really make what? Subtract 10%. If I make $11 an hour, I really make $10 an hour, right? 10%, right? So if you make $30,000 a year, you might as well minus. You really don't make 30, right? You might as well minus that 10%. 3,000, right? Every dime on a dollar. I had to teach Mother Kennedy this, and she said, "Thank you so much for teaching me what tithe it is." And it's not the down hurt. Somebody told her whole life she was dumb and stupid and she couldn't learn. So when she learned about tithing, she was like, "I'm not stupid." And she just walking with joy, just knowing the percentages and how to calculate it, right? And that's what we're supposed to do in the house of God. Amen? And so, as we put God first, then he redeems the rest. And this is our responsibility over to steward. That's what we're talking about, steward. He's putting us in charge of the rest. And if you can be faithful with this right here, then multiplication has to come to you. It has to come. Why? Because when Jesus gave the talents out, all right, and the man that was faithful to go out and multiply it, even more got added to him. And guess what? Faithful and multiplication got to be tied together. It's got to be tied together. If you're faithful, then God going to multiply some stuff. All right? And not just money, but also in your what you're learning, the truth that you know. God want to multiply that truth you know. Amen? He just don't want to continue in the same old revelation for 35 years. No, Jesus want to refresh and give you more and more and more and more and more. Amen? So as we put God first, it challenges areas of our heart that's not like God or that has a wrong view of how we see money. And how we see money. All right? So, allowing Jesus to put him first, redeem your money, and cleanses the rest, just like he did with you on the cross. So, God paid his tithes to show you an example on how you should be, even in your finances. Amen? Amen. Y'all give God some praise for them. Amen, amen, amen. So, go to one more scripture and we'll close out. One more scripture and we're going to close out. Matthew 6, verse 21. Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you know where your treasure is? It's where your heart is. Your treasure is tied to your heart. All right? And Jesus, I believe he does, and he put this system in place on purpose so we can disconnect our heart to what the world treasures. And the true riches in the kingdom of God is not money. It's not. It's people. It's people. This is the true riches. And I believe money, and I believe tithing severs your heart of what you think is important that's been influenced to you by the world concerning money. And I believe we have a responsibility on how we spend our money. And I believe that we shouldn't be doing, if you can't buy it, I don't believe in getting it. Amen. If you can't buy cash, I don't believe we getting it. We got our first credit card this year out of 13, 14 years. You know, when we first got saved, Jesus got us into financial peace. We went through two classes in financial peace. Amen. And we start learning about money. We start learning the importance. That's why we have to transfer this to our children, because they're not teaching us this in school, right? All we knew about money is to spend it, right? As soon as my kids get some money, they be ready to, oh, I get to go buy. I said, no, you don't. Just ask me. Save your money. Guess what I'm teaching them? How I do God. Sometimes God wants you to just let your money sit in there. You ask him for it and then trust him that he going to bring it to you. And that develops in you discipline. It develops in you patience, that you know God heard your prayer and that you believe you receive, and he got the answer what you prayed for, instead of you always think you got to go buy it. Because if you think that everything you get, you got to buy, then you're going to feel inadequate. You're going to feel inadequate. You don't feel like you can't be or operate. But God never intended for you to go buy everything that you need. Won't you trust the Lord sometimes? Go in Best Buy. This is what I did. And I'm going to teach y'all a series called, it's called The Lord is My Shepherd, I Shall Not Want. And it deals with this wanting or this drive that's in all mankind to go after things. And to really, you know, it just promotes more and more covetousness. Amen. And he taught me a series of, he taught me some, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I went in Best Buy. And I walked, you know how Best Buy open, you can just go all around the walls of Best Buy. It's got something, right? So I took a ride in Best Buy. I said, ooh, I like that Mac. Lord, I want that. Boom. Okay, thank you, Lord. I believe I receive. Oh, look at that 55-inch. I like that, Lord. Would you get that for me, Lord? And I'm broke. I ain't got the money. Going to every area. Oh, I like that, too. Ooh, that'll look good in the living room. You know the kids need that 42-inch, Lord. Would you get that for me? Would you get that? Thank you, Lord. I know you always hear me. Your ears are open to my prayers, Lord God. I thank you for always coming through for me. Now, you might have to wait. And you're going to have to. Amen. But guess what it produces? It produces a trust for the Lord, to the Lord, to get you the items that the world running and killing after. It, you know, when I first got saved, we couldn't get cable because it would run into our tithe money. We couldn't get cable. $7.25 an hour, that, you know, you can't do nothing with that. But I believe the Lord wants us to have more. He wants us to be more. Amen. And so I walked through Best Buy, and God just pointed everything I wanted. I thought I wanted to get all this stuff out of me. And then I stopped looking for it. Why? Because Jesus taught me for something. It's on the way. Unless he said, okay, you can go buy that now. And this is really Jesus ruling you in your finances. You can go get that. And unless you learn how to trust the Lord in the little things and being patient in the little things and being faithful in the little things, how can he trust you with more? Amen? And some of y'all and some of us will have to start over. We have to make sacrifices to put Jesus in the first. We might have to start over. We might have to sell something. We might have to get rid of something. We might have to really make Jesus first. And the Lord want to be first. He want to rule you in your finances. Right? Care of you. He want to do what you want, but he don't want it to rule you like it's ruling the world. It's ruling the world. A little bitty piece of paper ruling the world, right? And it's sad. Amen. Because I talked this last week. What if the value of your dollar, this $50 bill I got in my pocket, what if it went down to zero and you could no longer buy and sell? What would you do? This is powerful. What would you do if the money in your pocket was of no value? You could no longer go to the store and get you something to drink and something to eat. What would you do? We are not without hope now. Now, listen, hold on. Let me paint this picture for you. I must give you that so you can, because this is what your heart leans to. It has to lean on God. And it need to do that now. We don't need to wait on it to be zero. It need to be that now. Why? Because the scriptures tell me that my God supply all my needs, not money. That's good. Not money, even though I use my money. And I thank God for Jesus blessing me. I thank God for him giving me what he's given me. But I can't trust it. I still have to trust my God. Why? When the doctor said they don't have no money, they can't do nothing for you, what you got to do? We got to trust the Lord. Why? We are not without hope. God created the body. He know how to fix it, right? That gives us hope. Amen? So, detaching your value or your trust in money, I believe, is the purpose of tithing. So you will not trust this system. It's just a by faith, Jesus, just slowly bringing you out of this system's way of thinking into God's way of thinking. And it really calls you to trust the Lord. Amen? Trust the Lord. Trust him with your money. Because where your treasure is, God is slowly taking us to a place where this treasure that it need to be in people, he's slowly bringing us to that place because that's where his treasure is. It's in you and it's in me. Amen. And we're slowly understanding that people is the most valuable commodity on the face of the planet. People are. Amen. In closing, I love y'all. The Lord sent messages like these to tweak our hearts and to help us. And I pray you open to it. Amen. Receive this correction from the Lord. If you are already doing it, man, it's encouraging to you. Be encouraged then to keep doing what God called you to do. Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has impacted your life through our church, we want to hear your story. So please email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.